So now we're in Nathdwara in Rajasthan, and this is a place of the deity of Sri Gopal Nathji. And this deity has a very interesting story that began about 500 years ago in Vrindavan. The story about a devotee. Most stories of the Lord, they always involve the Lord and his devotees. And the Lord is always associated with his friends and lovers and servants and worshippers and aspiring devotees like ourselves. So he has different pastimes. So this deity was originally carved 5,000 years ago by the great grandson of Krishna. His name was Bajranab. And he was appointed by Parikshit to be the king of Mathura district. Parikshit was the king in Hastinapur, and Krishna's great grandson Bajranab was the king in Mathura Mandal. At that time there were some great rishis living in Mathura Mandal, and one of them was named Shandilya, Shandilya Rishi. he was a great rishi, he was a devotee, Krishna Bhakta, maybe Vishnu Bhakta, but at any rate, Krishna Bhakta. And he wrote a book on Shandilya, Shandilya's Bhakti Sutras, like we have Narada Bhakti Sutra. So he was living in Braj Mandal, and he met Bajranab, and he said, "Listen, you have a very illustrious dynasty, and your great-grandfather used to live here in Braj as a child, as a balak, as a shishu, as a yovanam, as a kishore, Krishna kishore. And he lived here 11 years as a cowherd boy, as a gopa. He had many, many pastimes in many, many places, but now they become lupta." Lupta is like gupta. Lupta means they become hidden. "And you should use your prabhav and your wealth to uncover these and commemorate these places of your father, because he's Bhagavan. And otherwise everything will become lost because of time and neglect and forgetfulness." So he took that seriously, and then together with Shandilya Muni, he went around different places in Braj, and Shandilya Muni say, "This is Radhakund, this is Shamakund." And then, so when they drain out, someday, soon probably, they'll clean Radhakund and Shamakund. And you'll see the original kunds that were made then. One is called Bajrakund, which he named after himself. And then the other one is called Kankan, Kankan Kund. Kankan, it means bangle, Kankan. Because Radhakund was dug by the bangles of Radharani and the gopis. The deity began 5,000 years ago. Because Bajranab had many deities carved, and specifically the deity of Keshava, Lord Keshava, who's the lord of Mathura. Of course, he's moved. The actual original Keshava deity is in Kanpur. Keshava, I'm not sure where he is. But he carved Keshava, and he's been replaced now in the Birla Mandir. There's another deity there with the same name, Keshava. Then in Govardhan at Manasi Ganga, there's a temple of Haridev, which most of us, I think, have been there by Manasi Ganga. And that original deity is in Kanpur. And he's like this deity. He's standing like this. He's in bas relief. There's a black stone behind him, and he's coming out of the stone. It's called bas relief or whatever. You know, there's a big piece of stone, and so the deity's coming out of the stone like this, but there's other things there also, cows and other things carved in the background of the stone. So that, and the deity of Dalji, Baladev, and Mahavan. And then Dalji and Haridev, and Madan Mohan, and Govindaji. They were all carved. They're very ancient deities, 5,000 years ago. And also Gopinath, Madan Mohan. So there's 5-6 deities, and so many lingas, Shiva lingas he made also. Gopishwar Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev is in Kamyavan. We went there. There's a big temple now made of that, for that deity, big marble place, you know, with so many bells we walked around. Then we went out into the fields to Dharmakund. Some kid shows the way through the fields and found this old, very old kund, neglected area called Dharmakund. So the deity was carved and it was being worshipped somewhere in Govardhan, right near Govardhan Hill. And then over time, due to different circumstances, maybe Muslim threats, the deity was buried in the bushes right next to Govardhan Hill. And that place is called Sri Gopalnathji Prakatstali. And that's in the village of Aniur. right at the tail end of the village of Aniyur. When we go on the inside Prikamarg, someday I can show that to you. It's right up against the hill. There's a small temple commemorating the Prakatstali, which means the place where the deity manifested. So 5,000 years ago it was established, and then it got lost. And then 500 years ago, maybe 540 years ago or so, right before Lord Chaitanya's time. Lord Chaitanya, now it's about 525 years ago. I think it's Gaurabdha. What year is it? Gaurabdha 515, 525? Well, 1986 was the 500th anniversary, right? So 86 and 14 and 7 is 21. So 521 years ago, Mahaprabhu appeared. 1486, right? So before that time, which means about 540 years ago, Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan. He's a great devotee of the Lord, Vaishnava, initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya, but he worshipped Radha and Krishna. And Madhva Sampradaya, their headquarters is Udupi in South India. Maybe someday you'll go there, or I don't know if we'll go there, but you'll go there. I'm pretty selective about, I mean, I've been everywhere already, but now I'm pretty selective where I want to go. But that's there. They worship Krishna, Gopal Krishna, without Radharani, in the mood of Dasya Bhav, mostly in the mood of Dasya Bhav, and they'll go to Vaikuntha, the Madhvas. And so we're connected to the Madhvas, because Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarpuri, who's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who's initiated in Madhva Sampradaya. But actually, Madhavendra Puri was a little bit of a, you know, revolutionary or something, because he adopted the worship of Radha and Krishna. But everyone in his Sampradaya is worshipping Krishna alone in Vaikuntha. So this same Madhavendra Puri, before Lord Chaitanya's advent, he came to Vrindavan and did bhajan. And I'm giving kind of a summary, and then we'll go into detail. We have about 30 pages of detail. So over the next, we'll meet several times and get installments of the whole story. But it's a very interesting story because it shows how much reciprocation there is between the Lord and his devotees. Through sakshat darshan, through swapna, dreams, personally appearing, And the pure devotees, they're completely dependent on the Lord. They don't depend on anything. Even this indicates the great extent of their faith, their Bhagavan Shraddha, their great faith in God, which of course is not very much prominent in Kali Yuga. We have faith in money or faith in our qualification or our ability to earn. But these great saints, they show us that it's possible to live with nothing but faith, and they can eat, and your faith will feed you. Also, you can eat your faith. Your faith will feed you. So Madhavendra Puri came to Govindakund, and he took a vow. It's called ajagara vritti. Ajagara means python. Ajagara, I think it's ajagara. Ajagara. Ajagara vritti means to lie on the ground like a python, and he just waits there. He's pretty big and fat, so he must get quite a good allotment. Usually 20 feet long, like this big. They just wait there on the path, and if something comes along their way, they open up and deposit it in the belly bag. So he took this vow. He stayed there, and he did bhajan. He was simply absorbed in chanting the holy name of Krishna and meditating. Then every day some little boy, we can't imagine who, but some little boy would come and bring milk to him. And then he had some dream, and then in that dream he was directed to dig up a deity, then he dug up the deity, then he installed the deity, and he had more dreams, and that dream directed him to Puri to get sandalwood, and then he stayed in a temple there, Gopinath temple, then another dream, and a few dreams. So Madhavendra Puri had a few dreams, and he was being visited every day, in real time, eye-to-eye time, see-feel touch time. He's being visited every day, 540 years ago, by Bhagavan Gopal. Gopal himself was coming to feed him. So this is a very wonderful story. So that's the deity finally. Sri Gopal Nathji manifested there at that Prakatstali on the side of Govardhan Hill, and then he was installed on the top of Govardhan Hill per his wish. And Madhavendra Puri, of course, walked on the hill, as did the Brijvasis and was a grand festival all over Braj Mandal. Every day, different villages were coming and holding Anukut. A similar thing you see in Banki Vihari. People have competition for puja. So Monday's full bungalow, it was offered by Mr. Agarwal. And they cost about 2-3 lakhs to offer these full bungalows. You must have seen, it's quite elaborate. That's quite a lot of money. I don't know why so much money for some little flowers, but that's what they say the cost is. And that goes on every day for 2 or 3 months during the hot season. So every day, 3 lakhs. You know, 90 lakhs a month for flowers. And people are beating down the door. In fact, if you want to sponsor a day during those few months, because he only doesn't use them all year round, I think you have to wait about 20 years. Because they have a big book. People already booked. So the same seva is being done by different people every day. So in a similar regard, at this Anukut festival, which means to offer lots of pakabog, cooked in ghee, kachoris and puris and ladus and all these things, and chapan bog. Chapan bog, this whole phenomenon of chapan bog began with Govardhan, Bhagavan Krishna in the form of Govardhan. That was 5,000 years ago. That was the first chapan bog. And then after that, the next one was Gopal. So then people, different deities in different temples, they imitate that. But the origin of chapan bog, offering 56 preparations to Bhagavan, began with Giriraj. Bhagiraj Dharana Ki Jai. So Gopalnathji, he is Krishna, and he's in the mood of Giridhari. He's like this. He's quite, you know, healthy, let's say, as they say, stout, very stout deity, very beautiful. And he has a diamond in his chin, very large-sized diamond, high quality, I suppose. And it's said in this thing that you have, it was donated by Emperor Akbar, who was, of course, the Muslim ruler of India, North India, 15th century. And he was very religious-minded. He had one Hindu, one of his queens was a Hindu lady. And he donated the stone. That stone is only meant for royalty. That red, that very rich blood red sandstone of Bharatpur and Kota and all that area. And there's some of this sandstone has these little white and yellow dots in it. It's red but has these little yellow dots. That's like junk. But the really good red sandstone is blood red. There's no yellow dots. And that was reserved for Muslim cenotaphs or whatever they call the thing where they bury the dead. What do they call that?
Kubra.
And their mosque, not mosque, but their tombs or their palaces, like Fat. What's that place? Fatah Kitri, or what is it called? What is it? Whatever it is. Fatahpur Kitri. Fatfat Kitri. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. At any rate, he personally donated that stone to Jiva Goswami for the construction of Govindaji Temple. And then, of course, his descendant, Aurangzeb, came and chopped it up. It's interesting.
And he went, Maharaj, to ask God. He went so many places for this son. He wanted a son, and he was Akbar, yeah. Mm. And then finally, he got Aurangzeb as a son. Who put him behind the bars when he was his thing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the story.
That's the cold facts. At any rate, the what was I saying? I got a little sidetracked here. Anyway, something to do with Gopal. Oh yeah, so Akbar donated that diamond to he's very religious, so and that was just another proof of how religious was. He donated a diamond to Nathji and he donated all the stone for the temples of Goswamis, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. So this deity, of course, you know, he was there for a couple hundred years or so. And then the Vallabha Sampradaya was started by Vallabhacharya. They were very good. He was very good friends of Jiva Goswami. Of course, he met Lord Chaitanya. Vallabhacharya met him. They were contemporaries. And he has a great commentary on Bhagavatam, and he's a very famous acharya, Vaishnava. They worship Yamunaji and Nathji and Vallabhacharya, their followers. And they worship Radha and Krishna, basically. That's their Ishtadeva. But here you just see their deity is Gopal. But all of his prayers, everything's to Radha and Krishna. Of course, they have a branch of Vallabha Sampradaya called the Pushti Margis, and they worship Gopal, Ladu Gopal, and Vatsalya Bhav, all these Gujaratis. So there's like two branches. And the majority of the followers of Vallabha are worshiping Gopal, Nachi, Giridhari, and Ladu Gopal. But Radharani, but he himself, Vallabhacharya, actually worshiped Radha and Krishna. And he has very wonderful commentaries in 10th canto about Radha and Krishna's Leela. Very famous. So they have some of these branches. So his son was Vitalnath, and he was a great acharya. And they were very fast friends, the Goswamis and Vallabha, and even his son was a friend of Jiva, who was quite young. And they all would meet together and discuss Radha and Krishna. So Jiva Goswami, he was... The Seva Puja of Gopalnathji was under first Raghunath Das Goswami's supervision, then Jiva. Because Madhavendra Puri was a Vairagi, it's called a Yati. We have Yatipur. There's a place called Yatipur, because Madhavendra Puri, he was living in Yatipur. Yati means Vairagi. He was Yati, so there's Yatipur. You know, they call it Jatipur. Mm-hmm. Jati comes from, J is from Y, it's supposed to be Yatipur. Yati means a sannyasi. So he was a sannyasi renunciate, Madhavendra Puri. He lived there, and then right opposite that, on top of that hill, there's this old, huge old temple of Gopal, you can see, Sri Gopalnathji. So over time, that Jiva wasn't able to take over the puja, so he told Vittal, why don't you take it over? So he did the puja, then eventually, threat of Muslim attack or whatever, he brought the deity here. About 200 years ago, 250 years ago, he brought the deity to Nathpur. And I think they say first he stayed in Agra for some time, which sounds rather unusual, because I have a hard time believing that part of the book, because, you know, the Agra is the headquarters of all the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not going to, you know, there's a tiger in the forest, okay, well, let me go leave my baby there. You know, if you know the tiger's in the forest, that's the last place you're going to leave your baby. And the Muslims are in Agra. Because generally, in 1670 is when Aurangzeb attacked and broke down the Govindaji temple, Madan Mohan, etc. And they got wind of that because Man Singh, first of all, Man Singh was working for Aurangzeb, or Akbar. I think it was Akbar. He was working for Akbar, and maybe he was still even alive later on, or his descendants or something. And anyway, the point is that Aurangzeb had Hindus working for him. They always do, because they're smart. Ministers and whatever. So they understood that the next day he's sending his soldiers. So they immediately came and told. So they packed up all the deities at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, Govindaji, etc., on bullock carts, and they ran off to Radhakund, and they stayed over there. And then they went to Kamyavan. Then they went from Kamyavan to Rajasthan. Govindaji, Gopinath, Damodar, Radha Madhav, Madan Mohan also came to Jaipur. Then he went to Karoli. So like this. So similarly, they didn't go to Agra. So I would think that Nathji went somewhere. Actually, what we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sometimes he would come down from Govardhan Hill and go to Gantoli. Gantoli Gram is about 2 kilometers in the jungle from Govardhan. At any rate, about 250 years ago, Sri Nathji came here to this place. And he's been worshipped by Vallabhacharya's followers. That's roughly what I... So this is kind of a summary of an interesting story about the deity. It's a very ancient deity, and we're going to have the darshan, hopefully, by the Lord's grace. We'll have the darshan of this beautiful deity tomorrow. So generally it's understood that old deities that have been beautifully or very devoutly worshipped are very powerful. Because Krishna, he goes where there's devotion. If there's devotion, then he comes. So there's been very strong and great devotion here, at least for 250 years and before that. And let's say the last 550 years, Gopalnathji has been really, really worshipped. I mean, every day he was having chapman bhog for 2 consecutive years after he was installed. every day when he was installed by Madhavendra Puri, asked for 700 and whatever that is, 730 days. 2 years is 730 days, I believe. He was getting chapan bhog. So you get pretty accustomed to such opulence. And then I guess he came here. So they're continuing. You can see they have some good stuff over here too. So he has a standard of excellence, which has been carrying on for 550 years. It's not easy to cook 56 preparations every day. I don't know how many they make, but they were doing that every day for 2 years because different villages. You Barsana Brahmins, you offered 56 preparations? Oh, now today's our turn, Nandagram. Oh, today's our turn, Chatikar. Today's our turn, Mukherai, then Ral, and this and that. And so easily there's 730 villages in Braj. And they have they're all farmers. They have so many grains and ghee and all these things. And that's all you need, grains, ghee, sugar. And you can make some millions of things. So that was going on in a grand way. So this deity is, so when you're worshipped very nicely and treated very nicely, then you're happy. It's nature. You're pleased. And if you're pleased, then you're in a good mood. And if you're in a good mood and somebody asks you for something, that's the wife's trick, right? So in a similar way, Krishna is also, he's the Supreme Person, Sri Gopal Nathji. And this is a place to, of course, to worship. And, we can't really go in there and do much puja because it's kind of a rugby scrimmage. Darshan is something like a rugby scrimmage. But the idea is you go in there and you see the deity for a minute and they push you out, then you go around and go back again. It's kind of like, you take the cat and you throw him out and he runs in the back door or something. Or whatever. Yeah, so
held on to the railing last time.
There's different ways to do it. Like the men have a cantilevered floor, which is very nice. The floor goes like this, so the guys and everybody can see. There's no one. It's very nice. There's this floor, the next floor. That's very nice. I think it's cantilevered. That's the right term. So when you're standing in the back, then there's no one blocking. You just see straight. You see the deity. Although you're far away, that's the only problem. But you can see the deity. His prabhav just goes through the space and reaches you. So I usually go right in the back because there's doors, and two or three doors there. Ladies usually go in the front. And then, but if you go in the back, there's like the doors there, and then there's like a little wall. So no one's going to push you. So you can kind of stay in there. And then ladies always get pushed back and forth across the front. So then we find that the deity is very, very powerful. So despite your initial impressions, you actually spend some time, and what we can do, we can offer manasi seva when we're standing. Oh, please accept this camphor lamp, and you're just standing there. Now I'm offering you a camphor lamp to your lotus feet four times, and your waist and your face is so beautiful. And please accept this panch pradeep. Now I'm fanning you with chamra. Now I've made these nice kachoris and chutney for you. Please, all this is going on in your heart, and he's accepting fully and directly. Bhavagrahi Janardhan, the Krishna Janardhan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he accepts the Bhav. Bhavagrahi, Grahi means the essence of the Bhav. And the Bhav is something that's in the heart. You express it externally by arrangements and articles and whatnot. But the real thing is to establish it and express it inside. And you may express a lot of things outside, but there's nothing inside. In temples, oftentimes people make a big show, but there's no Bhav. So here we all can be pujaris, pujari for a day. And it doesn't matter if you're contaminated or uncontaminated or a woman, man, because women don't do puja, they're not allowed in India. But anyone can go and do. And now your own prayers, your prarthana, praying for this or that or whatever you feel you require for your life or for your bhakti. And I've been here maybe 8 times in my life, and I always have a nice experience. So just read at the end of the story, if I managed to get our way through 213 verses over the next few days, this is it for today. This Krishna's Kaviraj, he's telling that this is called a Falshuti. An interesting thing about what we're going to read over the next few days is this story of Gopal, the story that we gave a small summary of, was actually came from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. There's many players in this drama to keep them all straight. But Lord Chaitanya, he was visiting a temple in Orissa. It's called Kir Chor Gopinath in Remuna. It's about an hour, no, it's about 6 hours from Puri, north, on the way to Calcutta. I've been there a few times. And he was visiting that temple on his way walking to Puri with some devotees, and he said, actually, this temple is the site of a great pastime with Madhavendra Puri. So then he told about Madhavendra Puri and the pastime with that deity. Then he said, and Gopal, the story of Gopal. It was a story in a story. And we'll tell that story. So, that, and at the end of that narration, Krishna's Kaviraj says, Eta Akyane Kahila Donhara Mahima Prabhura Bhakta Vatsali Ara Bhakta Prema Sima. I have described both the transcendental glories of Mahaprabhu, the glories of Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees, and the highest limit of ecstatic love of God. Bhakta Prema Sima. Sima means the highest limit. Bhakta Prema. Prabhura Bhakta Vatsalya. Prabhura Bhakta Vatsalya. Prabhu means Mahaprabhu, the Lord. Because he's the Lord. His affection, his Vatsalya, his deep, loving affection for his devotees. Because Mahaprabhu was in great ecstasy describing Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is a pure devotee of Krishna. So Krishna himself, coming as Mahaprabhu, was taking great relish and happiness in glorifying his own devotee. He says, listen everyone, I want to tell you about a great devotee. So usually the devotees are glorifying God with Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means choice verses and the highest poetry and the most beautiful phrases to glorify the Lord, his beauty, his power, his leelas. So now we find that the Lord himself is he takes great happiness in glorifying his devotees. So he's mentioning that. Then after that he says, Shraddha yuktahana iha sune je jana Sri Krishna charani se paya prema dhana. One who hears this narration with faith and devotion, Shraddha yukta, he will attain the treasure of love of God at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna charana se paya prema dhana. So that's the boon. So hopefully we'll get there.